This is the Tribe Tech Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Tribe Tech Podcast by Tech Southwest. I'm Fiaz Khan and my co-host is Robert Hillier. This is a Tech Southwest Awards special as the shortlist is out today, Friday, 25th of September.
Yep, everyone we're speaking to on the podcast is a judge at the Tech Southwest Awards.
Yep, and there's a new award in the mix this year, the Hero Award, which is for firms that have stepped up to change their business or create new technology to help fight COVID-19.
Our first guest is Pippa Clark, a tax partner at Bishop Fleming. Pippa's also head of technology, innovation and growth there, so perfect for this podcast today.
We did a survey, Bishop Fleming Technology Innovation and Growth Survey, right at the start of this. And that showed how even tech businesses, which you might think would be used to operating in a more virtual way, and perhaps because of the nature of the sector that they're in, finding it easier to navigate this, for a lot of them, there was a decrease in confidence.
We're also speaking to Chris Sum from Tech Exeter.
People need to take pride in what they've achieved and to put themselves forward for these awards. And just to shout out to the community to say, we've built this amazing thing.
And our final guest for this special episode is Tamsin Hodge from the UK Hydrographic Office. It's based in Taunton and it's the world's leading centre for hydrography.
And if you're wondering what hydrography is, it's basically cartography for water. High-tech equipment that helps us understand the seas, harbours, rivers, lakes, etc. using geospatial data.
Yep, and Tamsin manages portfolios for the software and the physical products that mariners all around the world need to sail safely.
What we're not seeing is the talent coming through the pipeline for digital careers. And we live in a digital age, and you know, digital is with us now, and the adoption of it through the COVID-19 pandemic has, you know, grown exponentially.
We'll also be bringing you in the names of all the nominees through the show to make sure everyone gets a mention. So shall we do this like they do at the Oscars?
How do they do it at the Oscars?
So I'll say what the award is and then you list out the names, but you have to sound slightly like you're an AI person.
Okay, well, right. I can do that surprisingly easily.
So we're going to do the first three categories.
The award nominations for the Innovation Award are
Codices, Data Duopoly, Filmily, Rocket Makers, and Rovco.
The award nominations for the Best Startup are
Airway Medical, Codices, FloraTQ, Tumelo.
And the International Success Award nominees are
Chess Dynamics, Mortec Semiconductor, and Sparkle.
Well, I hope we pronounced all of those correctly.
Well, I know I did.
So, on to our first guest, Pippa Clark from Bishop Fleming, who told us how she's seen businesses change during the pandemic.
It's been really interesting to see how businesses have pivoted to move away from their traditional markets and find alternative markets. There's also been a lot of innovation around taking the resources that a business has and using it for community good. For instance, let's give an example of Goonhilly Earth Station. They started using some of their equipment to produce PPE equipment for the market, and they're not alone in the tech community for having done that sort of thing.
There are a lot of businesses who've pivoted to do that sort of thing, because Goonhilly is not, you know, PPE is not their remit. Is it?
No, it isn't. And, you know, that's an example of a business really thinking about what they can do to help. It's not an example in that case of a business saying, well, we've got a facility that we can use to produce another revenue stream. But there are other examples where that has been the case.
Yeah.
So, for instance, using equipment or machinery to produce PPE or hand sanitizer, anything like that. There's also been a huge move online, hasn't there, in terms of quick adoption of technology that we should probably have been using anyway.
Yes.
All of the platforms, everybody's familiar, aren't they, with all of the platforms around communication, video conferencing.
It's funny how everybody's just moved on to Zoom and FaceTime, and all of our conversations now are video, which I think before, just I don't think that ever happened. In fact, I don't think I ever had a video call with anyone that was in this country prior to this.
Well, I definitely have had, but they were fairly few and far between.
Yeah.
Even in the tech world, people like to see people. Even though in the tech world, you would imagine that everybody is that much more used to doing things virtually.
Yeah.
it wasn't in somebody's comfort zone, and now it's the everyday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pippa, because it's impossible really to talk about this year without talking about COVID and the lockdown and how that's impacted on everything, how significantly do you think it has changed the path that many tech companies in the tech sector were on? And do you think it's done so for good, or is there an attempt to try and get over and return to the kind of trajectory and business plans that people may have had before this started?
I think initially there was an understanding, or a belief rather, that this was something that would return to normal.
Mm.
So there was a pulling down of the hatches to a degree for some. For others, there was the spotting of an immediate alternative opportunity that they thought might be short-lived.
Mm.
The position now, I mean, we did a survey, Bishop Fleming Technology Innovation and Growth Survey, right at the start of this, and that showed how even tech businesses, which you might think would be used to operating in a more virtual way, and perhaps because of the nature of the sector that they're in, finding it easier to navigate this, for a lot of them, there was a decrease in confidence, but actually the level of decrease was less than you would have seen in other sectors.
So I suppose the confidence came from having the technology, just not using it.
The confidence came from being able to sell something that didn't rely on a customer coming into a physical place.
Yeah.
Tech sector is more resilient than others around that. What I would say, this is a particular extreme example of disruption, isn't it, to the norm. Disruption and crisis always breed innovation. There will be some real positives to take out of this, and I don't think that we will see a return to exactly how things were previously.
Sorry,
Fiona. Go ahead.
Sorry. Do you think that the wider economic crisis that we're going to see over the next months and possibly years, will it impact on every sector of the economy, and particularly in the Southwest? Or do you think, if there's not some kind of immunity, if you'll forgive the word, there'll at least be an ability to ride it out and take opportunities where they do still exist?
I think it's human nature to be incredibly resilient, actually. And all businesses, tech businesses, we're all run by people. People make judgments and make decisions based on not just rational data, but on how they feel about things. I think we'll be seeing some businesses that were really thriving but could have done more actually be doing the more, because in a situation where things are going really well, there isn't that drive to find the extra.
Mm.
I think you'll also see some businesses which were really leanly run and had some fantastic technology that have really accelerated through this, because this is the time when their technology becomes really valuable.
Yeah.
We'll also inevitably see some businesses that actually sadly really don't make it through this. The key to any business is understanding where their revenue comes from, what their pinch points are, having good access to data to enable them to make really good, quick decisions.
And, you know, the innovation that we've seen quite a lot in the Southwest and well, elsewhere as well, there's a lot of tech businesses are doing things, particularly around PPE and around communication. And I wonder, do you think there would have been all these sorts of innovation had there been no COVID or there been no lockdown and people were still going in as normal to work?
I think there's a great history and great evidence of huge amounts of innovation across the region. What I would say is that I think it's accelerated by moments like this.
Oh.
And this is the time when we'll see even more coming out of the community that is truly innovative.
Well, it's super exciting though, isn't it?
It is. At one level, it's super exciting. At another level, it's, you know, people are human beings and they're worried about families, about friends and about the long-term impact.
Yeah.
I heard somebody saying the other day that when you have an event like this, there's a fear that things will be worse more quickly. There'll be a deeper dive into something different that's difficult.
Mm.
But the expectation is usually that things bounce back more quickly. So I think we've got a long road ahead. I don't think it'll come back as quickly as we would like. But I do think that we can take a lot of positives from how agile and responsive businesses are and how innovative they are and how that's being demonstrated at this time.
Do you think that because so many people now who might have considered taking the plunge around a startup without that confidence behind them of a kind of growing, thriving economy, do you think it's more important than ever that there's that there's the security of investment and know-how and support from organisations so that we don't lose that kind of disruptive startup culture?
I think all of those support networks are fabulous. And actually, we're blessed with so many of them across the region, aren't we? I think they will really come into their own at this time. I like the approach that you hear from some around actually a startup which doesn't succeed isn't a failure of itself. That's the greatest learning that you can get if you can take that, move on and go into something else.
Actually, I was saying that a lot of people who we speak to who are business people and people who've had four or five different businesses and sometimes they've gone bankrupt, sometimes the businesses haven't succeeded and they've just picked up and started up again. They're people who are quite fearless because they never seem to mind that their business has gone down and they never seem to mind that something hasn't worked the way they planned it to work because they always see that as a learning curve. So they just pick up, start again and carry on. And they just do that numerous times until they do succeed. And I think it's also a mindset.
It's definitely a mindset. And those who are resilient enough to take that approach, you know, that's where you see the great success stories coming through. Mm. Very rarely do you see an actual overnight success.
Yeah, exactly. Even though it seems like it.
To the public, it can seem like an overnight success, but actually to that individual, it can often be the result of many years of hard work.
You don't hear or talk about the four that haven't worked. Yeah. You just talk about the one that has.
That's thriving, so, exactly. Yeah. So let's talk about the Tech Southwest Awards. How did you get to be a judge?
I lead the technology, innovation and growth sector at Bishop Fleming. And that's a personal passion of mine, working with innovative tech businesses. I love hearing the stories. I love hearing about the what's not worked so well and, even more importantly, the what does work well. As a firm, we have over 400 tech sector businesses that we act for. And I have an enormous number of really lovely conversations that I fantastically enjoy with lots of people in the industry across the whole of the region. So in terms of getting involved with Tech Southwest and supporting the awards, as a firm, we felt it was part of doing the right thing, which is one of our keen values. And we want to give something back to the community. We were really keen to be involved again this year to continue supporting the community and to celebrate the success. I felt personally that it was particularly important this year, more important than ever really, to celebrate the successful innovation of the tech businesses across the region.
Well, it's wonderful that we have companies like yours and people like you to do that, because otherwise what would happen?
You mentioned there about how much you love hearing the stories and the ideas that people have where we live. And one of the things that me and Fels often comment on is how often you meet a person or a company and you say to yourself, what, you're doing that here? And how often we're taken by surprise by some of the extraordinary things that are taking place. Have you come across anything across the region that's surprised you, that you had no idea that level of innovation and that sort of scale of business was happening in Devon and Cornwall, Somerset, Dorset and beyond?
There are always instances that surprise me. I've learned never to assume. There's all sorts of public information that you can look at, but it just doesn't tell the whole story. And until you start talking to the people who are passionate about the business and who are right behind the innovation, you don't understand really what's going on.
As a judge, what is it that you're looking for that makes people and businesses stand out?
We look at lots of entries. And those are based on the submissions that the people in the businesses have put forward. And what we really look for is a fantastic story. Does the submission really tell the story? And to anybody entering the awards, that's what I would encourage them to think about. Does your submission tell the story adequately that a judge can understand it really quickly? So that undoubtedly gives a business that's been able to get the message across a real advantage. And we're looking for good evidence that that business meets the criteria that's set out for the particular award. I mean, I'm in Bishop Fleming Accountants, so we're looking at it from a business perspective very much so, and these are business awards. So tell the story with some numbers. That's always helpful. Those numbers, if they can demonstrate that you've had things like fantastic growth, can clearly articulate the achievements of the business, both in numbers and in terms of the wider achievements across the business community, across the workforce, across innovation, across product development. Can the entry really articulate all of that?
Well, I think if you complete all that, you deserve an award just for getting the submission in.
exactly. Exactly. So those, I mean, not every business is able to articulate all of that. But I think, you know, there are elements of that that can come into most submissions.
Just finally, Pippa, for me, just to kind of pick up and expand on what you said there a bit. So in terms of then from what you've seen, heard and read so far, that overall story, how do you think the tech industry in the Southwest is positioned against some of those criteria that you've laid out there?
There have been some awards that have just, you know, really clearly articulated some of that and shown that there's some incredible innovation that we see across the community here, equally showing that that innovation is leading to business success. So good stories around order book, good stories around attracting inward investment, good stories around international collaboration. Clearly people can't travel in the way that they have been, but there's evidence of really good use of technology to continue to build relationships and to continue to win work.
Pippa Clark. So let's bring you some more nominees now before we hear from Chris Sum from Tech Exeter.
And the nominees for the Tech Research Award are
BMT, Ocean 3D.
The nominees for Sustainable Tech are
Frontier Technical, Neighbourly, Plotty, Value XD.
I tried to do that like AI then. It's okay.
No.
And the nominees for Health Tech are
Eye Control, Neurognostics, TSG Technology Services, Ultramed.
And the nominees for Tech Leadership are
Chris Pippin, Hatless Studios, Set Squared Partnership.
That's Chris Pippin of Hatless Studios, just in
should
case.
Should I do that again?
That wasn't clear. No, it's fine.
A Tech Southwest podcast.
Okay, so there's more of those in a bit, the final selection, but on to our next guest and award judge, Chris Sum, who are just finishing organising the Tech Exeter Conference.
We normally have an annual conference, and last year it was a sellout event at the University of Exeter Business School. This year, obviously, we couldn't do that because of COVID, so we knew from the start that we were going to do some sort of virtual event. And we had so many speakers that we had to spread it out this year over 2 days. So on day one, we had two simultaneous talk tracks talking about all things tech, mainly focused this year, our theme was computer vision. So we had AI, object recognition, GPU acceleration, and that sort of stuff. And then the second day was our sister community, Digital Exeter. They were doing things on SEO, visual design, user experience, and those types of topics. So yeah, we had a packed 2-day schedule, fully like live and interactive.
So what made you start Tech Exeter? I know it was called a different name before, and then you guys changed the name and rebranded. So but what kicked this whole initiative off?
So I guess traditionally it was this sort of go down the pub on a Friday evening and chat with a load of people. It was called Exeter Web, so it was mainly focused about around a group of people who are doing web development stuff based out of the Generator co-working space. But as those meetups grew in popularity and as more people wanted to do not just web stuff, but general tech and digital stuff, we decided basically to rebrand it after a while and to give it like this fixed schedule of running events every month on the same day every month, having guest speakers so we have a fixed format, and also trying to do extra events, socials, and just getting out there into the wider community to announce that this group, this community of people does exist, and you don't need to go to Bristol, Bath, London, etc. to find like-minded techie people.
What kind of identity do you think Exeter is hoping or trying to build for itself? And you know, in the same way as you know, Bristol's really you know is now being thought of as a proper kind of innovation and tech hub. What do you think Exeter can try and do to give itself a little bit of a platform here?
Yeah, so it is a question I really struggle with. There's no one thing that Exeter is really known for, but recently with the Met Office and the Big Data Impact Lab and the university's sort of data science focus, I think that's what we're going to see more of, a focus on data science, environmental sciences, and being placed where we are in the region, it's quite a rural city, more rural tech, so agri-tech, farm tech, biotech.
Do you think it's important to have a specialism or to be seen as if you're a cluster of like-minded people with the same kind of ambitions? Does it matter, you think, when you're talking to people externally that Exeter or anywhere is known for a certain thing?
It is important, but it's not the most important thing. I think a lot of people move to the Southwest because they want to start their own companies. They want to be an SME, which means they're a lot more agile. They can do a lot more variety of things. The variety of tech companies that we have in the region is pretty high. So it is important to have some sort of specialism to be known for something, but it's not the most important thing.
Chris, let's just talk about the awards and how you came to be a judge.
The event last year I thought was really great. It was a great focal point for highlighting local businesses and people who you don't really know about. Lots of people in the region, especially tech people, don't really advertise and celebrate what they're doing. We're kind of in our own little bubble and we don't really sort of shout about ourselves that much. So the awards is a really great vehicle to do that.
Did it make you feel, as it often makes us feel as we do this podcast over the weeks and months, that we need to get a lot better about having a bit more confidence about ourselves and not feel like as if we're second class to other parts of the country?
Yeah, definitely. I just think people need to take pride in what they've achieved and to put themselves forward for these awards and just to shout out to the community to say, we've built this amazing thing, we want you to know about it, we can do this sort of stuff in the Southwest, it doesn't matter where we're based. We've got the skills, we've got the people, we've got the lifestyle. Yeah, come join us.
Thanks to Chris.
Yes, especially since he did that for us on his birthday. What a way to celebrate.
Yeah, what you get the man who has everything, a slot on Tribe Tech. So let's complete the rest of our nominees this year from the hundreds of entries that came in.
The award nominees for the Commitment to Diversity Award,
the Maiden Academy, and Tech Girls.
The award nominees for the Best Tech Workplace are
First Data Bank, Mintivo, Mortec Semiconductor, Rocket Makers, and Singer Instruments.
The award nominees for the Hero Award are
Applegate, Cosmic, and Sparks.
The award nominees for the Tech Entrepreneur of the Year are
Brian Allen, David Kelly, Harry Cobbold, Richard Godfrey, Vlad Nanu, and Andy Rogers.
The Best Education Initiative Award nominees are
Ocean 3D, South Devon College, Sparks, and WestX School.
And the Teach Tech Award nominees are
Anthony Martin and Simon Good.
Fantastic. Our final guest today is Tamsin Hodge from the UK Hydrographic Office, which is headquartered in Taunton, although their workforce is mainly at home, of course, at the moment. Tamsin explained to us more about the work of the UKHO.
The UK Hydrographic Office is part of digital government, and we are part of the Ministry of Defence. We've been producing and making products to help support the mariner at sea for a very long time, since 1795.
Wow.
And over the last few years, we've been evolving and adapting our portfolio of products and services to extend out into providing more data services to help really unlock a deeper understanding of the world's oceans.
Well, we'll talk a bit more about the UKHO and how it's adapted, because obviously it has adapted over 200 years. Quite a lot technologically. It's the ideal place to talk about pivoting, right? Because you would have had to pivot continuously over this time. But
and it's the anniversary today, just the date of the Mayflower departing.
That's amazing.
Oh wow! Oh, that's a good link.
It is, but also it's quite sad because this year was supposed to be the Mayflower 2020 celebrations,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Big celebrations. Mm. Yeah.
And that couldn't have happened. But in more exciting news, you've created this STEM Ambassador program. I want to know more about that because it's exactly what the area needs, and maybe more like it, to help young people into STEM subjects.
Yeah, thank you. So as well as being a product manager at the UKHO, I've also founded and established the STEM Ambassador Outreach Programme. So STEM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering and Maths. And we initially founded it as a bit of a pilot scheme 3 years ago to look at how we could bring volunteers from across the organisation and start teaming up with community partners to bring to life what it's like working in a STEM career. And we started running an initial set of pilots in conjunction with STEM Learning UK, who are part of our key partners. We've also teamed up with other organisations such as Big Bang Southwest, Sir Optimist International, the British Science Week Group, and also working collaboration with other groups such as Digital Taunton, Tech Exeter and Tech Southwest. What we've done over the course of the last 3 years is we have developed a range of outreach activities, doing hands-on activities, providing careers coaching and going out and about to events. And we've actually worked over the course of the last 2 years, in fact, 20,000 young people aged between 5 and 19 and 45,000 members of the public, and we've gained national recognition in the STEM Inspiration Awards. So I'm incredibly proud of everything we've achieved as a team within the STEM Ambassador programme.
You absolutely should be.
Yeah, we talked about pivoting actually, and the majority of us have been working throughout the whole of the last few months. Some are now starting to return to the office 1 or 2 days a week. So we've got quite a hybrid way of working. But that's been important to keep our safety critical services up and running and to continue supporting the global marine market who looks to us for our products and services. From a STEM ambassador program, it created quite a challenge for us because the spring and summer are the busiest times for our outreach program. We find that works well within the school calendar year. And we had just run the first of our outreach events in March, which is British Science Week in Taunton, where we welcomed 300 members of the public and children to meet with our ocean environment team and did a lecture. We were just about to get into our biggest phase of outreach work ever, which would have doubled the number of young people and members of the public we would have worked with. But we had to pull going to those events as we realised that actually the pandemic was starting to, become much more serious. But we worked with those partners to explain, you know, we want to be back. We definitely want to be back. So what we've done as a group, we have continued gathering together virtually, and our focus was on supporting our members of staff in the office. So over the course of the summer, we collaborated and collated over 40 resources and home learning pieces of information and resource packs for staff to use to help homeschool their children. And then in the summer, we teamed up with the Somerset Education Business Partnership to work on quite a new project to provide virtual careers advice to Somerset school children.
Can I just ask, can any young people take part in the programme, or do they have to be linked to one of the organisations that you're linked to?
The way that we work our programme, our outreach programme, as a government organisation, it's really important that when we do outreach work, we do things that are open and accessible to all. So our key partner is STEM Learning UK, and we work with them to look at which key events do we want within our outreach programme. So the key events predominantly be the ones that are the major ones within the Southwest. So the Big Bang Fair, which was held at West Point down in Exeter last year, was the plan for this year as well, was open to all primary school and secondary school children across the whole of the Southwest, and that is free for them to go to. And they would be bussed in, and they would come round the stalls, and they would do the hands-on activities and meet with us and hundreds of other employers. The other key event was Yeovilton Air Day at RNES Yeovilton, and they have a fantastic STEM hangar on the airfield there, and so we would be going there as well. Schools can apply for STEM ambassadors to go into the schools, and they make that application via STEM Learning UK, and they pass those opportunities on to us.
So just around STEM again, obviously maths is and has been the most popular A-level choice across the country for quite some time. Do you think there's still a bit of a disconnect between the subject choices that young people are making and an understanding of the kind of careers that they can lead to?
Yeah, I do actually. I think from what we've seen, and we've researched quite a lot on the sort of age groups that will have the maximum impact in coming into contact with a STEM ambassador, what we're seeing is it's very difficult for young people to make career choices so early on in their life. You know, how do you relate doing maths, you know, doing really tough, complex equations to a job at the end of the day? We find that actually female students will often not choose to do STEM subjects because they don't find them interesting and they're not inspired by the teachers who are teaching it. They can't relate to them, and they tend to view them as a bit sort of geeky subjects. So that creates further issues. If you have not many female students doing a class, you can feel quite isolated. Now, there's been a lot of really positive work done to promote the benefits of doing choosing STEM subjects and keeping some STEM subjects within your option choices. And the take-up of physics has improved considerably over the last couple of years. You've just talked about maths, which is, a very good trend that's going on. Biology has always been a strong STEM subject choice for girls. And from the back of that, we're seeing, really good female representation in jobs such as veterinary work and medical professions. What we're not seeing is the talent coming through the pipeline for digital careers. And we live in a digital age, and digital is with us now, and the adoption of it through the COVID-19 pandemic has grown exponentially. What we need to be doing as STEM ambassadors, and actually anyone that's advocating for greater diversity in tech and the digital sector, is go out there and talk to people and show them what you do, show them how you're doing complex calculations, show them how you're using data. I just talked now about using live geospatial data that's coming in from vessels out in the Far East to get a better understanding of what's going on out there. It's really fascinating work and very visual. And I think if we can start showing what it looks like to work in a digital space, then the young people can understand how maths and physics and chemistry and biology all fit into that, alongside the really good traditional subjects as well. English, maths, history and geography, they make a good blended learning.
And of course that polymath model of having arts and science combined and the bridge between the two is becoming increasingly key, isn't it?
Definitely. I see a real growth area for data visualization. It's not just about doing the data engineering and the software engineering, how that data is visualized in a creative way. If we look at COVID-19, all of the updates that have been going on, we're looking at those daily graphs of where are we with cases going up. We've got used to seeing really clean and well presented data visualization, and I'm seeing some quite creative things coming out in terms of some market insight and customer feedback and sort of empathy maps. So that side of data science I can really see growing, and I can see that being quite attractive to female students who perhaps may not relate perhaps the harder side of computer science type subjects to the more creative and colourful way of handling data.
Let's just pivot now to talk about the awards and how you got involved.
Yes, certainly. So the Tech Southwest community is one of our key partners within the STEM Ambassador Programme. And for the second year running, we sponsored the Sustainable Tech Awards. We are committed to supporting the growth of the Southwest digital economy. And it's just been delightful being involved with the awards ceremony. It's so well organised. And to look at the variety of entries that come in for the categories, it's just absolutely phenomenal.
And what were your favourite entries this year?
Well, I obviously can't talk specifically about entries. I was in group two of the panel of judges, and we judged four different categories. So obviously my favourites were in the categories I judged, because I don't know which were in the other categories. I judged the Sustainable Tech Award, the Health Tech Award, the Tech Leadership, and the Commitment to Diversity Award. Now, all of the entries in each of those categories demonstrated some really good examples of success and how the businesses have evolved and adapted in the challenges faced with COVID-19. There were some really strong themes that stood out for me in terms of those entries. So those were where we've seen perhaps more traditional business models, and over as a result of COVID-19, they've looked to digitise their business so they can actually evolve and go forward and continue to work with their customers and end users to deliver perhaps new or differently shaped services. The other things that really stood out for me were the companies and the organisations and the individuals that are really making a commitment to encouraging diversity within the tech and digital workforce in the Southwest. We know that women are underrepresented just more widely across the tech industry, and it's really important that we have that diversity of workforce across all LGBT, gender, race, etc., to really have a robust digital workforce for the future. The other things I was looking for when I'm judging is I'm interested in the tech, obviously. There's a great range of tech and potential solutions out there. But what I'm looking for is, what problem is it solving? How is that serving a user need? How are you listening to user feedback, and how are you evolving and adapting that into your approach? The other thing that I'm looking for, and is where these stand out, is collaborative ways of working, collaborating with your community, collaborating with other groups and organisations, because that is really key for diversity and also to enable innovative thinking. I have to say, all of the entries that I looked at were so impressive, really, really impressive. And congratulations to everyone that has entered. It was a really, really tough job shortlisting them, and I know they're going to be announced shortly, but a big well done to everyone that's entered, and good luck with the next stage of the competition.
Tamsin Hodge, thank you. So the final four categories
and the nominees: the Contribution to the Community Award,
Adopt Star, Crowd Funder, Heart of the Southwest LEP Digital Skills Partnership, and Employable.
The nominees for the Best Scale-Up Award are
Amdaris, MoreTech Semiconductor, Rovco, Roe IT.
The Tech Company of the Year with revenues under £5 million.
Neighbourly, One Big Circle, Software Solved, Rocket Makers, and Storm Consultancy.
Neighbourly is based here in the Southwest. That's amazing. That's a really cool app that we used as well. You don't know that we use it, but we do.
That's exciting.
And the Tech Company of the Year with revenues over £5
million. Amdaris and Rovco.
And that's it for this programme. The award ceremony won't be far off. We'll find out details of exactly when soon. Thank you to Pippa, Tamsin and Chris for their insights today.
And thanks for listening. We're back next month.
A Tech Southwest podcast.